Will everything play out the right way? Simple question for you guys. What is the scenario in which things will play out on Sunday? All 4:25 kickoffs, Eagles, Washington, Bears, Vikings, 49ers, Rams, all 4:25. How will things play out for your football team overall on Sunday? 610-632-0975. Plus, we will give you the over-unders of the game. Andrew will throw those at you at the end of the call to see how you feel, specific things that he throws at you, like the tight end touchdowns, 1.5, or the running backs, 70 yards, over-under, things of that scenario, and we'll throw those at the end of your call.
I also want to hear if people, if there's any Eagles fans that feel the same way as Chris from Upper Darby did earlier. And if you guys miss it, I did pull the call, so we'll play that in a minute. Chris from Upper Darby called in earlier, basically said, hey, you know what? They're going to lose in the first round, so I don't care if they win or lose this Sunday. Mm-hmm. I don't care if they make the playoffs or not, just because they're going to lose in the first round. I don't think many Eagles fans actually really feel that way, so if you do, call us 610-632-0975. I also want to know if people are as angry as me when they hear that. Do you want to hear the call?
You want to do it now?
Yeah, let's do it now.
All right, Chris in Allentown, hang on. You'll be first. Hang on. We're going to hear from Chris in Upper Darby with his, Andrews has deemed them, ridiculous comments. Chris in Upper Darby next on 97.5. What's up, Chris?
What's up, guys? Love the show.
Thank you.
I don't even care about the Eagles season anymore. I'm done.
What?
I'm waiting for next year. I don't care if they make the playoffs or not. All they're going to lose, all they're going to do is just win a game or get blown out in the playoffs. This team is just weird to me. I don't even care.
It is a weird team.
I would talk Sixers, man.
I hated that. And it is a weird team. You and I agree with Chris. It is a weird team. This has been a weird year.
Uh-huh.
But you do not, he's not rooting against them, but you do not actively say whether they win or lose, I don't care because they're going to lose in the first round. Crazier things have happened in sports. And I don't think they're going to make a run to the Super Bowl. But crazier things have happened.
Yes.
I would rather have another meaningful week of football, and not just week 17. I'm talking about first round of the playoffs. It might be in Chicago. It could be in LA. Who knows? I want another week of meaningful football because I want my team to be in a possibility and a chance and an opportunity to make another run of the Super Bowl.
No, I do too. I want to see it. I think we all want to see it outside of Chris. Most of us want to see that. Forget about a draft pick and all those things, man. That stuff will take care of itself. Right now, you're going to be one of the lower teams anyway that doesn't make the playoffs because of your record at 9-7 and with that draft pick. So that doesn't even matter at this point. You worry about that later on. Right now, you take what's in front of you,
but
which is
a
good team playing very well with the Philadelphia Eagles going into the postseason.
I don't think Chris was even worried about a draft pick. I think Chris was just sort of like, you know what, what's the point of wasting my energy?
But I'm saying that because we did have one earlier that said they didn't worry about the draft pick.
Yeah, somebody did call in about the draft pick. But in terms of what Chris said, it seems like Chris is just sort of like, I don't want to waste my energy with another week of Eagles football. Why? Eagles football, you only get 16 of those games guaranteed a year.
I guess because they're just frustrating. I guess that's what it is. They're just frustrating. 610-632-0975. You heard Chris's call, which was, yes, it was something. And he does not want another week of Eagles football. He does not care anymore. He's focused on the Philadelphia 76ers at 23-13. Let's go to Chris in Allentown. Not Chris in Upper Darby. He's fine. Let's go to Chris in Allentown right here on the Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
Yo, man. Listen, Chris from Upper Darby, go call that other station. We don't need you on our side, guys. That's all I got to say to Chris from Upper Darby. Listen, man, this game is going to go the way, you know, we're going to beat the Skins, but the Chicago Bears are going to be 31-17. That is going to be the score. They're going to be up 24-6 by halftime. Okay. So
they're going to come out and just put it on Minnesota.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. We are going to go back to back years of knocking the Vikings out of the playoffs, guys. And I'll tell you right now, I'm going to be tuned into both games. I'm going to have two TVs laid out, top to bottom. I'm going to be watching both games. I'm going to be Chicago Bears all the way, and obviously, you know, we're going to be Eagles all the way. I'll tell you guys, this is going to be a magical run. When we make the playoffs next week, after Sunday, when that bell rings, I'm going to be so delighted that we have another week of football. And I think I'd rather see the Chicago Bears in the first round than the Rams. I'll let Seattle take care of the Rams, and then we'll go take care of the Saints down in New Orleans then.
Well,
we're going back, guys. This is back-to-back, guys.
You know what's funny? I'm looking at ESPN.com, right, guys? You and Andrew, I'm looking at ESPN.com, and I see something where this morning on Get Up, Louis Riddick predicts the Chicago Bears will win the Super Bowl. So how about that? Now, does he help them get into the playoffs, first of all,
absolutely,
and then he knocks them off, right? So
absolutely.
Listen, man, Chris.
Yes. I got over-under for you. Over-under, Tariq Cohen. Two touchdowns.
Tariq Cohen, two touchdowns. I will go under because I think Howard gets in as well. So here's your over-under from Andrew.
All right, Chris. All right. Over-under. Is it another monstrous game for Nick Foles? Over-under 3.5 touchdown passes for Nicky Six.
I'm going to say it's going to be a tie.
You can't tie 3.5.
You can't. Oh, 3.5, then that's going to be under. But Josh Allen's going to have a huge game.
Okay, Chris.
Thank you, man. Appreciate Josh Allen.
First time ever in NFL history where you throw half a touchdown.
That's right. You can only throw half. So, see, that's why we asked earlier the two-point conversion. Does that play into it? You know what I mean?
If he has three touchdowns and a two-point conversion, I'll give it to him.
That's 3.5, man. That's 3.5, right? Even though it's only 2 points, it still counts as the half because he got into the end zone by passing it to someone. 610-632-0975. Riddick picks the Bears to win the Super Bowl. Interesting. Let's go to Alex in Bethlehem next on the Fanatic. Alex.
Hey, guys. Hey, yeah, I actually...
Alex, you're breaking up, man. We're going to put you on hold and see exactly where you are overall. And during the break, Andrew and I are going to listen to this Andrew Riddick thing. I mean, Louis Riddick, pardon me, one of my favorite people covering the NFL and his thoughts. I still think he should have been on Monday Night Football, not just the pre-game and post-game stuff. I thought he should overall have been on the broadcast. But anyway, Louis Riddick picks the Bears to win the Super Bowl. That means if the Eagles get into the playoffs, thanks to the Bears beating the Vikings, they fall.
That's fine.
So Chris and Upper Darby.
I just want to make it in the playoffs.
Chris and Upper Darby was right.
He's right. He's right that if they lose in the first round, he's right about that. But he's not right about caring.
I know.
You need to care. You need to root for your team. And again, Chris didn't say anything about draft picks. But even if somebody did, we had a caller earlier that mentioned draft picks. What's the difference? One or two spots?
11 to 12.
Come on, man.
That's the spot. Still get an offensive tackle. You need an offensive lineman. Go for offensive lineman.
I hate that mentality.
Yeah.
Hate it.
Let's go. Dan and Gary in Philly is next on the Fanatic. Gary, good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Can't complain besides that last comment that was made.
Chris's call?
Yeah, Chris's call. So, you know, I'm never the one to bash anybody, but Chris, you can't rep Philly, man. You're from the county. We're not going to accept you if you're making statements like that.
You went county on him, huh?
Yeah, had to play the old line of jurisdiction. But
oh man,
I think if we play the game the right way and not take it as a joke, you know, with all the washed up injured players on the Redskins, you know, we're going to come away with the win. And I'll tell you what, nobody wants to play our team because the only thing that he said that was correct is that we're weird, we're unpredictable, and in sports you want to play somebody that's predictable. So if we make it into the playoffs, I only have one concern, and that's the Saints because of what they did to us earlier this season. But if we make it in, we're going all the way. And that's what I have to say.
Why are you so confident they make it in, they go all the way?
I mean,
based on what?
When you watch sports and you see like that eye of the tiger that people have when it comes to, you know, sports, the morale with Nick Foles in the game has us feeling like unstoppable.
Well, yeah, he does, and we've been talking about it all week where it's just something that hovers over him that he's the weirdest dude ever in sports, at least in Philadelphia sports, where this stuff happens. But, listen, they are playing well. They could be playing their best football going into the playoffs, and maybe they do make a run. But as you pointed out, it starts on Sunday. Gary, here are your over-unders for the game.
All right, Gary, over-under half of a missed extra point attempt for Jake Elliott.
Oh, man. Half of a missed extra point.
So does he miss one, yes or no?
He misses it if it's less than 30 yards. I don't know why he's weird, just like our quarterback. If it's a fall.
No, not a field goal. Extra point.
Oh, he makes it.
All right, see, I'm on the... I think he makes it because he missed it. Because he missed last week. I think he makes it.
Yeah, but then he's too much into his head saying, oh my God, I got to make this.
No, because I think with the severity of the game and Jason Peters barking at him again saying, yo, bro. All right, let's
I read you the stat. He's missed 5 extra points and 4 of them have been in key games.
Dude, I don't watch him anymore. I don't.
Yeah, look away.
I listen to the television, look away, and just walk away or whatever, and just hope that I come back and they have that extra point on the board, because he's so maddening. And I know it's not every week, but it's enough.
Well, it's in the
key
moments.
Last year and this year, it has been enough.
He's missed 5 extra points. 4 of them, ready? One was against the Falcons in the playoffs last year. One was in the Super Bowl last year.
Dude.
One was against the Cowboys earlier this year. Instead of going to overtime, they could have won 24-23. And the other one was just last week. 32-30 win. If he makes it, I cover.
That's what you're
worried
about.
That's the important one.
That's the important one. 610-632-0975. Tim McManus joins us at 12:30 of ESPN.com and 97.5 The Fanatic. Yes, Jake Elliott is a maddening kicker, and a lot of people don't want to worry about the kicker because they are just the kicker, but he's something. He is something. He has a good leg, and he can knock in that 61-yarder to beat the New York Giants last year in game number 3, right? Win that game. Walk-off. Fantastic. That was only after Jason Peters said, yo, bro, don't do it again. Don't do it again. That's why I think the half for you is he will make everything this weekend.
Well, I'm telling you, that 61-yarder has saved him this year for a lot of people.
Yes, it has.
Because a lot of people, I put out that stat on Twitter, and a lot of people responded bashing, saying, oh, but he makes the big ones. Remember the 61-yarder? Yeah, I remember the 61-yarder. That happened in week 3 of this past season.
Yep. Yep.
I'm just saying.
Just saying.
What have you done for me lately?
632-0975. What's the scenario? How do things play out for the Eagles, Bears, and Rams on Sunday? If the Eagles win and the Bears win, they get into the playoffs. If the Eagles win and the Bears lose to Minnesota, they do not. We all know it by now. What is the scenario? How does it all play out? 610-632-0975. It's a Football Friday with Andrew Salchunas, Devon Givens here on the Midday Show on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
O'clock hour brought to you by Tropicana Atlantic City. Celebrate New Year's Eve with dazzling fireworks on the Tropicana Boardwalk. For more info, visit Tropicana.net.
Thank you for that, Anthony. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Tim McManus joins us in 9 minutes right here, of course, of ESPN.com and 97.5 The Fanatic. You guys on the phones, what's the scenario of how things play out on Sunday? 610-632-0975. Eagles win, Bears win, Eagles are in. Eagles win, Bears lose, they're out. And, hey, let's also point out this. It's an NFC East game. Washington playing tough. Josh Johnson playing for his NFL life. Don't add me, Andrew. His NFL life. It could make things a little interesting. No DJ Swearinger, no Jordan Reed. All of those things. A lot of mess.
If we have another Joe Webb game.
A lot of mess going on.
If there's another Joe Webb game, this is going to be the longest offseason ever. Longest offseason ever. Longer than talking about Mariota for 3 years, 3 months.
It might be. Because then everything is going to come back into play. Tennessee, Minnesota, Dallas, all these games
losing
are going
to Joe
Carolina.
Webb 2.0.
All these things are going to come back into play. And why weren't you ready and prepared for this game against Washington, knowing you have one job to do?
Not going
to
happen.
Win your game while everyone else, even though you need the help, win your game. You let everything else fall into place. And we need Chicago to certainly beat Minnesota in Minnesota. And the Rams to do whatever they're going to do. They're going to play with San Francisco. They're not even.
Three good quarters.
Toy with them.
Well, what about this? What if the Rams eventually pull their starters? I don't think that's going to happen because they need to win to have that, that second playoff spot.
But your point, if they are blowing them out and Minnesota's in front of Chicago, maybe they're scoreboard watching saying, you know what? It's time to take these guys out. We already know Ty Gurley is banged up. Let's rest everybody else and let's just get ready for our bye week and go from there.
And they haven't played well the last couple weeks.
No, they have not. Jared Goff needs to work. He certainly needs to work. 610-632-0975. What's the scenario for you of how things will play out on Sunday? All 425 games. Eagles, Washington, Minnesota, Chicago, Rams, 49ers, all 425 kickoffs. All implications with the playoffs. Two seed for LA Rams, Chicago Bears, and the sixth wild card, the last final spot in the playoffs, the sixth wild card spot, of course, for Washington, for Minnesota or Philadelphia. 610-632-0975. Dan in Abington joins us next on the Fanatic. Hey, Dan.
How you doing?
Good, man. What's going on?
I just can't understand when the Eagles play. I've been watching football for a long time. With Foles under center, they're a different team. Now, whether Wentz is better than Foles is not really my argument. My argument is that they're a more calm team with him under the center for some reason.
Well, and that's the case this year, Dan. Last year when Carson Wentz was running the NFL, it seemed that they had their thing, their chemistry with the team overall last year too.
Yeah, but Carson Wentz lost an integral part of his game this year.
His legs.
Defenses knew he couldn't run.
Yes.
So Wentz, when he was on a hot streak last year, he was making some plays out of the pocket that nobody's ever saw before.
That's why I said this year versus last year, because of the fact that he has not been the same quarterback.
But to be honest with you, I think that Foles is a better passer than Wentz, given time.
Because of the fact that he's a pure passer, can stand in the pocket where we know Carson Wentz is not the best in the pocket. He can also do more things on the move.
Well, Foles knows how. There's certain plays in NFL or any college football where guys are wide open. Foles can take something off the ball. The ball doesn't have to be thrown perfectly. Wentz throws everything the same bullets.
Kind of what people would say about Donovan McNabb in the past.
Yeah, they throw bullets. If they're up on your left shoulder pad, you're probably not going to catch them.
Soft touch with Nick Foles, not so much with Carson Wentz. I hear you, man.
That's why the big guy, Alshon Jeffrey, flourishes with Foles because he gives him the jump ball.
See, people forget, man, when they had that run going during that 9-game winning streak, Dan, Carson Wentz and Alshon Jeffrey had something going on. How do we forget about that? Well, first of all, before we even do all that, Dan, let's get ready for your over-under with Andrew right here. Here we go.
All right, over-under 1.5 fourth down conversions made by the Eagles offense.
I'm going to go over.
What is it again, Andrew?
1.5
Okay, going over for Dan. Thanks for the call. Over-under 1.5
Had 2-3 last week.
Fourth. I'll go under.
You don't think they need it?
No. I don't think they
need
it.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
Yeah, I'll go under.
Last week, they needed it because they were playing to win. Because if they lost, the season was over.
Well, same thing here, but they're just relying on some other help. But I still think that they don't put themselves in those positions of fourth down because the defense is just kind of broken down now on Washington's side.
Right. I'm also thinking, last week, Doug knew, all right, I need to go for it on fourth down here because I may not have as many chances, or we need to score a lot of points to beat the Texans, which they ended up having to. They needed to score 32 points to win.
Yeah.
I don't think they need to score 32 points against the Redskins. So I don't know if we see as many fourth down opportunities, not opportunities, but chances going for it on fourth down like we did last week.
Or maybe they do simply because it is the last game of the season and they're going to pull out all the stops. All of the stops. Matt in Chicago is next on the Fanatic. Love this one right here. Matt, what's going on, man?
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Guys, if you replay what Matt Nagy says from the Chicago Bears by way of the University of Delaware and Big Red Andy Reid, he says, if there is a blowout, verbatim, I quote, if there is a blowout, our philosophy will change. And I think he's referring to the Rams-Niner game. As they watch it at 4:25, kick off Vegas same time with the flex. So I don't think he's going to try to win this ball game simply because he would prefer coming back at home at Soldier Field against Minnesota the next week and doesn't want any part of Philly. What do you think about that?
I think he wants Minnesota. I don't think he wants Philadelphia. I agree with you.
Why would he want to win the game?
I've been saying the same thing. I think that he would prefer to play that Minnesota team because Kirk Cousins is not Nick Foles. Nick Foles seems to have that magic when things starts to get rolling, and he's played good the week before. He played great last week, and them getting the win. And the more dangerous team, I think he wants to stay away from overall. So once things really play out, Matt, in Los Angeles against the 49ers and the Rams, then obviously we'll have a better sense. But I do believe, along the lines of you, that they don't want to touch the Eagles.
So if you can simultaneously watch the game and you see Mac on the sideline and you see Trubisky on the sideline, that's all you need to know. It's odor. You got to think about what one game you lost during the regular season that kept you from the sixth seed or trying to, again, go back to the tournament to try and defend your Lombardi. So, you know,
it ain't over, Matt.
Peterson.
It's not over, Matt.
Well, I think it is. I think you're going to have to resign yourself to the fact that it is over. And as Wild Bill Patterson says, you rub the lotion on the skin where you get the hose.
Well, let's give you your over-under for our game here in Philadelphia, Matt, since you've been paying attention. Where are we going here?
All right, Matt, let's go over-under 30.5 completions for Nick Foles on Sunday.
Over.
They're going to be airing it out. Thanks so much, Matt. Over, under 30.5. I'll go under.
Well, yeah, that would be, your logic would be under because you think they're going to be more balanced.
I think they're going to be more balanced. I think they already have the lead and they won't need to necessarily get in that way. They'll start to, because again, I think that they're going to just simply be in front of the Washington squad on Sunday and they don't need those 30-plus pass attempts for Nick Foles, even though we know that that's what things have been looking like the last couple of games for the Philadelphia Eagles. But I say under. Running game will be in play. And to talk more about Philadelphia Eagles and Washington on Sunday, final regular season game, we hope it extends, certainly so we can talk to this man quite a few times going forward. That will be of ESPN.com and 97.5 The Fanatic. Tim McManus is joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. T-Mac, what's going on, my man?
Hello, my friend. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you. Look, we get to talk during the day now, not just on the post-game, on pre-game show. We get to talk during the week.
This is nice. Always a treat to talk to you.
T-Mac, thanks, man. Again, Happy New Year to you as well. Well, listen, man, obviously a big game coming up on Sunday, heading to Washington to take on the Redskins. We know the scenario. Birds win. Chicago wins. They are in. What's the feeling so far this week as we get closer, a couple of days away now? What's it been like down there, even with the day off with the holiday?
Well, I mean, certainly there's a bullish feeling among this team that if they do get in, they can be dangerous. In fact, Nelson Aguilar was talking about that yesterday. He just kept repeating the line, I like us. If we get in, I like us. I like us a lot. I mean, and I think that sentiment kind of reigns throughout the locker room. Brandon Graham having a similar thing saying, I think the universe will conspire in our favor and we're going to go on a long run here. But the guys know that in order for any of that to happen, they have to take care of their own end of business, and that is to beat Washington. And so they're trying to focus in on that game while recognizing they need some help from the outside to make any of that possible.
And, of course, if that happens, and as you just said, Nelson Aguilar and both Brandon Graham and Nelson Aguilar's words, I like us a lot. How much of that, Tim, is because of the magic that we saw last year from Nick Foles in these last two games, picking up two wins over two very good teams?
Hey, man, it's hard not to notice the way that the team has sprung to life a little bit. In fact, those were the words of Malcolm Jenkins after that win over L.A., was that, you know, Foles has pumped new life into this team. You know, some pretty telling words. And you can see it in their play. I mean, obviously, the offense has taken off, scoring 30-plus points in each of the last two games after hitting that mark only once in the first 13 games. And really, it is just seems to have gone across the entire team that they're playing with that kind of swagger that we saw in the postseason. And I guess why not? I mean, it was Foles that was at the controls when this team was making that postseason push last year. And also you have sort of the backup quarterback effect going on here as well, where, you know, everybody recognizes that they have to pick up their game, but whatever you want to call it, however you want to describe it, it's worked. Foles has been great. You know, he offensive player of the week, four touchdowns, one interception, sets a new franchise high with passing yards with 471. I mean, it's incredible. The story just continues to roll on about it, and the legend of Nick Foles just continues to grow in Philly.
And Tim, one of the more, you've been covering this team for a long time, and you've seen it all. One of the more, I guess, weird, interesting stories from the Philadelphia Eagles over these past couple of years since you've been covering the team?
Foles' emergence? Absolutely.
Yes. I mean, just the whole thing, 27-2, and then he's bad when he leaves. He comes back. He has success again. He's 1-1 to start this year off, comes back 2-0, and here we are again.
Yeah, man. I mean, one of the weirdest careers ever in Philadelphia sports and that of a quarterback. I mean, I try to think of a comp there. I know that I used to feel like Eli Manning was kind of this odd QB where he can, you know, he can be in a discussion for a Hall of Fame, leading teams in the postseason to a pair of Super Bowl titles, and also look horrible. You know, but Foles is unique in that, yeah, he did have the 27-2, and then he had a down season. He got traded. He just was in a bad shape in St. Louis. He almost retired. You know, hops back on with Andy Reid in Kansas City, comes here as an absolute afterthought. I remember when he was signed here to be the backup, kind of replacing Chase Daniel. People were like, really? Like, okay, like, whatever. And then we know what happened after that when Carson Wentz went down in Los Angeles a year ago. I mean, it's an absolute phenomenal story. There's already been books written about it. A movie could follow, who knows, and, you know, and more chapters are coming in. I mean, that's the other thing. People didn't really expect there to be anything else necessarily in Philly after that Super Bowl run, but Wentz goes down again, Foles comes in again. History feels like it's repeating in some kind of way.
Tim McManus, ESPN.com and 97.5 The Fanatic, joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. T-Mac, if we talk about Nick Foles, we can't ignore the franchise quarterback, at least we think, and Carson Wentz. What's the latest on him going forward with his injury?
Yeah, well, he is the franchise quarterback, number one. And I think that, you know, when he does get healthy, it's going to be his team again. And when it comes to next season, Foles will be starting somewhere else, you know, with a chance to cement himself as a franchise quarterback in another city. As far as the day-to-day with Wentz, you know, they've kept him on the active roster and off injured reserve, which at least holds out the possibility of him coming back. I think in all likelihood, that is not going to happen. Some of that is, I think, giving proper respect to your franchise quarterback, whether he wants to continue to get his back looked at and hold out the possibility of maybe getting in there if this season extends into the postseason. But I think the more likely thing is that they're going to let him rest and they're going to let him heal, and with the hopes that he comes back better than ever in 2019.
And Tim, lost in all of this with the quarterback talk with Nick Foles and even Carson Wentz mixed in with the offense as well, is the defense playing very well, led by Michael Bennett, Fletcher Cox up front. Great game by Chris Long last week with 2 sacks and all. But even with the cast-offs, Tim, in the secondary, they've been getting some things done. They look a little more comfortable. What's the difference in this team over the last couple of weeks on defense?
I think you got to give some credit to defensive backs coach Corey Unlin and defense coordinator Jim Schwartz. As you say, it's been a mix and match of guys who weren't, some not even on the roster. A guy like Cravon LeBlanc is somebody that Schwartz was talking up for solidifying the slot corner position. Of course, he hasn't been on this roster for very long, and Malcolm Jenkins is the only original member of the secondary standing. But I think that absolutely the defensive line is a big part of this story. We know that the back end and the front are absolutely connected, and when you have organic pressure from the front four and it's getting home, I mean, that makes everybody's job easier, and I think that we have seen that. You know, Chris Long has a penchant for coming up in big spots. We saw that definitely last year down the stretch, and I think we saw that against Houston. Michael Bennett has been, it's not a surprise, but he's been working through a foot injury and continues to produce like he has for the majority of his career, and then
even
you start
good
to see guys like Brandon Graham come on, and so yeah, I think that's been a big part of the story of the surge, is that defensive line really, really coming on of late.
All right, Tim, we have to put you on the spot before we let you go. How do you see this scenario? Of course, all 425 games, Rams, 49ers, Bears, Vikings, Eagles, Washington. How do you see this thing playing out on Sunday?
Man, there's so much to monitor at 4 o'clock on Sunday, isn't there? It's crazy. So I think that the Eagles are going to win. And so they hold up their end of the bargain. I feel like there's a lot of factors at play when you're talking about what Chicago is going to do. Because in a way, they get to dictate who they play in the first round.
Yep.
Right? If they, you know, if they want the Eagles, you know, then they can play this game against Minnesota in a specific way. And if they want the Vikings, they can do the same thing. I believe that they will be monitoring what's going on in the Los Angeles 49ers game. And I think if it gets like 10-plus points, something like that, that Chicago's going to start pulling their guys. There's also something to be said for, well, if Minnesota's going to be our opponent next week, you know, are we going to show them our whole hand? So Are they going to be doing everything schematically that you normally be anticipating in a game, which makes it tough for the Eagles? I think there's a bunch of factors that could play out where Chicago ends up not giving its full effort for the full 60 minutes, which obviously would put Minnesota in a good position to advance. So just from an odds perspective, I would say that seems like the way that might be most likely. But we know this is the NFL, man, and crazy stuff happens on Sundays. And we've seen it week 17 in particular happen over and over again where, you know, what you think is going to happen, the opposite does. So that's the drama that's in front of us.
And I'm sure you're like Andrew and I, if you take your chances, you take your pick, your choices. I would rather play Kirk Cousins and not Nick Foles in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, especially because of the offensive line that's in front of them, right?
Yep.
Because if you're Chicago's defensive line, which is nasty, right? Then I think that you would like that matchup quite a bit.
Yep.
To be able to go against the Minnesota offensive line instead of the offensive and defensive fronts that Philly brings to the table. Not to mention, they do have the Foles magic.
Yep.
And they do have the experience of a Super Bowl run, and they would be underdogs, and it would be like, oh no, here they come again.
And Trey Burton's over there like, yep, guys, we don't want any of that. Let's just stay.
Yeah. It's like, believe me, we want the Vikings.
We want the Vikings. So, yeah. Real fast, in the press box, how are you going to monitor everything?
Well, it's hard enough to watch the game in FedEx Field to begin with.
Right.
Press box is pretty terrible.
Right.
And hopefully they have a functioning TV so we can watch one of the other games as well. I think a bunch of us are going to ask to see if they'll turn on the other game for us so we can do it. But yeah, obviously we've got our phones and our computers, so we'll have an eye on many things and see how it all plays out. It's going to be an intense, fun, dramatic 3 hours, I think, in D.C.
Well, man, listen, as always, we'll be reading on ESPN.com, and we'll be checking in with you on the pregame show on Sunday to get the inactives, the actives, and the latest on the Birds heading into that 4:25 kickoff against Washington. Thanks for your time, as always, man.
All right, can't wait. Look forward to it. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you, Tim. T-Mac, ESPN.com, 97.5, The Fanatic. Good stuff. Nelson Aguilar. I like us. I like us a lot. If we get in there, Brandon Graham saying the same thing. Lamar, B-Hawk, Chris, hang on, guys. We want to give you all your time on the other side. We'll come right to you when we come back. 610-632-0975. Real easy. How does the scenario for the playoffs play out on Sunday? Eagles, Washington, Bears, Minnesota, Rams, 49ers. How does it all play out? Andrew Salchunas, Devon Givens. And for the midday, guys, Natalie is next with the update right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Oh, it is 12:50 here on 97.5, The Fanatic Midday Show. Andrew Salchunas, Devon Givens, hanging out with you for Jason and Anthony. Been doing it all week. It's been a blast. 610-632-0975. A special thanks again to Tim McManus for jumping in and hanging out with us for that last segment. Some good stuff. Again, Nelson Aguilar is thrown out there. I like us a lot if we get in. Like us a lot. Well, of course he's going to say that, but... You know.
Yeah, he caught a touchdown last week, so now he's a little chesty.
Nick Foles back, giving him an opportunity to catch the deep ball.
Man, have you heard Nelson speak really all year? He hasn't really had the opportunity.
Every now and then.
It's like Wendell Smallwood after the Rams game. He finally had a decent game. That's the first time you heard from him in his career, pretty much.
Every now and then. Yeah, he hasn't talked a lot this year.
But well, that was only his second touchdown of the year, I think, right?
Hasn't had a lot of success this year, man. Has not had a lot of success.
He's got that chemistry with Nick, though.
Yeah, he does. But again, he had it with... See, this is where we forget that the chemistry with Alshon Jeffrey and Carson Wentz, the chemistry with Nelson Aguilar and Carson... It was there last year.
Yeah, that Carson play.
We're forgetting.
First play, right? Or first drive against the Redskins to open up the season last year was when Carson scrambled out of the pocket, hit Nelson downfield. He beat a defender, and then he fell back into the end zone.
Let me give you Nelson Aguilar's number before we get back to the phone. 610-632-0975. Anything you want to talk about from Tim's joining us as well with the interview? Again, 610-632-0975. 12 games for Alshon Jeffrey. 60 receptions on 87 targets. How about that? That's pretty good. 784 yardage and touchdowns, 5-4 Alshon.
This is Alshon,
Jeffrey.
And he's missed, what, three games to
he
start
three
the
games.
Year? That's pretty good.
Nelson Aguilar, in those 15 games, he's played every game this season. We know Zach Ertz has 113 receptions, 152 targets. My goodness. Nelson Aguilar, 59 receptions, 91 targets, 696, two scores, as you pointed out, Drew, two scores. For Nelson Aguilar.
Yep. He's been all right for a third target.
He's been all right.
But here's the thing. Are you going to bring him back next year? I don't think you do.
I do. Over Golden Tate, I would prefer Nelson Aguilar. I would. It's just depending on the money.
And, right. That's what it comes down
and
to.
And I bring up last year. We talk about the numbers and it not being as good. Last year in 16 games, guess how many receptions he had a season ago? 62.
Okay.
62. So he's only three off of what he gave you last year, 95 targets.
Just more,
he's on
more
pace.
Explosive plays is what we remember.
8 touchdowns last year versus 2 this year.
Well, here's the problem. And I said this in the very beginning, and I said this when the Eagles...
I didn't realize it was that...
When the Eagles signed Jordan Matthews, I did not like bringing in Jordan Matthews for two reasons. One, I don't really like Jordan Matthews as a receiver. Number two, it moved Nelson Aguilar to the outside.
Well, if you listen to Jason Avant... During the pregame show, which I know you do.
Yeah, he likes Nelly on the outside.
He likes Nelson Aguilar on the outside because of his speed down the field.
Right, but if you bring
in... always heard that he's the best route tree runner on the team since he's been here. Right?
No, you're right. And Jason is right, and he does have that speed. But if you bring in a traditional outside receiver like Torrey Smith last year, Torrey Smith didn't do anything exceptional for you last year, but he...
But take the...
Took the top off the defense. And then that opened up things for Nelson Aguilar. So maybe Nelson Aguilar was more of a product of Torrey Smith last year, having defenses concerned and playing safeties back. If you have a true... let me say this. If Mike Wallace did not get hurt this year, Nelson Aguilar has a similar year as last year. The Eagles' offense is a little bit better. A little bit better than what they were this year. Even though Mike Wallace isn't that great, neither was Torrey Smith.
No, he wasn't.
There were two plays in the first week of the season that Nick Foles underthrew Mike Wallace, and Mike Wallace had a step on the corner or the safety, whoever was covering him, downfield. There were two opportunities for Nick Foles to hit Wallace in stride for a touchdown or at least a big 60-yard reception, and Nick Foles just underthrew him. But mm-hmm. That first game, Mike Wallace beat the defender twice. If you have him this year, if he doesn't get hurt and miss the entire season... The offense doesn't look like they have as many troubles as they do.
Well, I was a big Mike Wallace supporter when they signed him. He didn't do anything, and then he got hurt. And you would hear from, like, Jason Avant again saying, I can't really catch. And you hear some other guys say it wasn't really that great of a signing. Torrey Smith was much better, especially with his locker room presence. So it's an interesting conversation overall, but, should have, could have, would have, with a lot of things with this football team. Right now, even as we mentioned, Nelson Aguilar only having 59 catches, he only had 62 last year, and we all raved about it because he got in the end zone 8 times, only 2 times this season. The chemistry with Carson Wentz was there last year. People forget. The same with Alshon Jeffrey. 610-632-0975. Back at it on the phones tomorrow. And Philly, thanks for hanging on, man. You're on the Fanatic.
Yeah, what's going on, Devon?
What's going on?
Not much, man. I just listen to you guys. I'm changing my topic like over and over and over again. But long story short, man, I think that quarterbacks, man, with no pocket presence and low pocket awareness makes everybody look bad. And then all you hear all year long is this guy can't get open, that guy can't get open. You said a second ago that Aguilar runs the best route. If this guy runs the best route, that would mean that Aguilar get open, right?
Well, you would think so.
Well, if he get open, he don't get targets. That's the problem.
Targets this year, again, 91 targets, though. 91. He had 95 last year.
Well, 91 of those targets were like 2 yards the first two games that Foles played, where they were throwing them on two-yard routes.
Yeah, he had like 9 catches and for like 33 yards or something like that.
Yeah. So that's in my opinion. That's the issue with that. Another issue is, before you cut me off, Nick Foles, to me, at the end of the day, we all know don't have the athleticism that Wentz has. But the eye test is showing that he's a late bloomer. And at the end of the day, I'm willing to ride that out over bringing back somebody that projects.
Is he a late bloomer, Lamar, or is he just a streaky quarterback?
I think he's just a product of this system. I think he runs this system really well. And I wouldn't care. In my opinion, I wouldn't care if he only had 3 good years in him. If you give me 3 good years like I had last year, I'll take it.
All right, man. Well, let's give you an over-under with Andrew right here.
All right, over-under 3.5 catches for Darren Sproles this Sunday.
With Foles in here, I'm going over on that. Mm-hmm. He's a check-down master.
Checkdown master, take what's given to you. Thanks for the call. Give your man an opportunity to make a play.
I believe he had 3 last week.
Last week.
And two of them, one was a touchdown.
Uh-huh.
And the other was that third and two wheel route that he got about 20 yards on.
I'll go over.
He had some big plays last week.
Yeah, that 4th and 2 certainly to start the thing off with the scoring.
Two huge plays. Even the one that wasn't a touchdown, you got a first down on it, and it moved the ball into Texans territory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had a big week last week. Sproles coming back has helped his offense tremendously.
Well, yeah, of course. Of course it has. And energized. You just heard Tim talk about it. They feel like guys are energized with him being in the lineup.
I was ready to just put him on the shelf.
Malcolm Jenkins, same thing.
I was ready to put him on the shelf. And yeah, he's proven me wrong.
He has energized this thing, and we can't ignore it any longer.
Is he done after this season? Like, done in general, not just the Eagles, in the NFL?
He said when he was asked again, he didn't commit to retiring again. I mean, we know Nick Foles has energized things. We heard Malcolm Jenkins say it. Tim McManus talked about it with everybody saying the same thing. Darren Sproles, I don't know. I kind of think that he has the itch again.
I believe it was actually Tim when he was on with Bob and Jamie. When they filled in for Mike on Wednesday, Tim does the Mike Mussinelli show every Wednesday at 4:10. And Jamie asked him sort of, is this the last game in an Eagles uniform for fill in the name? And then he said Darren Sproles. And Tim believed that his family, I believe it was Tim, said that his family's trying to get Darren to come out.
Now he doesn't want to.
Right.
Okay.
So does he listen to the family?
Sometimes you have to listen to the family.
Because let's face it. After getting hurt last year, I was like, all right, this guy's done. But he didn't want to go out on an injury. He wanted to finish out the year.
And he's been injured all season.
All season. So he wants for 3 games
now? He wants to try it again. The problem is, I'm sure he wants to try it again here, and that may not be possible for him. You're listening to 97.5, the Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, a Beasley Media Group station. We are broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.